Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms microphone, the podcast version, is being brought to us by Take a Shot Firearms. Reviews you can trust, shots you don't want to miss. Visit TakeAShotFirearms.com for more information. Enjoy the show.
Defending your freedom every single day.
On the Car Arms Platinum Microphone from the GunBroker.com studios.
This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Welcome inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense Studios. These are the GunBroker.com studios. This is the Car Arms Platinum Microphone. It's great to be with you again today. I've got a great lineup. One guest for you, not a lineup. I can say one guest that's going to stay with us for the entire hour, and that's going to be Stephen Gutowski from the Free Beacon. We'll go to him momentarily. First, I'd like to welcome our television viewers out on the West Coast. Great to have you in the studio with us. You are in the Armed American Radio Video Network studios. I hope you enjoy the program today. Armed American Radio is filling your prescription for freedom and fighting for your gun rights 6 days a week across the nation's airwaves and now on your television screens. Great to be here with you today. I'm glad to have you in the studio with me. Let's go right to the phones. Stephen Gutowski from the Free Beacon. Stephen, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Stephen. I got to be honest with you, brother. I'm not liking what I'm seeing going on out there, and I kind of want to talk with you about it today because you're that calm, even-keeled voice, and I want to have you to calm me down. Are you capable of it today?
Well, I'll do my best. We are in the middle of a deadly pandemic, and all kinds of crazy, unforeseen things are happening. So, I'll try to stay calm, too.
Stay calm, if you would, and let me get you up on the screen here, too, so people can see you. There you are. All right, listen, let's start with this. We spoke earlier today about, and we normally don't discuss what we're going to talk about on a program. Is that right?
Yeah, usually we wing it. It's very exciting.
Well, today we didn't because I kind of enlightened you. You were unaware of what we're going to talk about today, to at least to the extent that we're going to talk about it, and that is the state of Georgia. Georgia has always been known when it comes to the right to keep and bear arms as a free state. And let me preface the conversation with this. When I moved from Florida here to the Peach State back in 2005, Georgia was about 10 to 15 years behind Florida when it came to gun laws in general, in particular concealed carry, where you could carry, where you couldn't carry, etc. In the 15 years that I've been living here, we have blown right by Florida and are light years ahead. I don't think we'll see Florida catch up in my lifetime, Stephen. That says an awful lot about what we've been able to accomplish. But through no fault of our own right now, we've got a little bizarre glitch where Georgia permit holders or Georgia weapons carry license holders whose licenses expire between now since from March 14th up now at least until the 13th of May because of the extension of the governor's hunker down order and essential business orders, they have closed the probate courts. The Georgia State Supreme Court, the head of the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, has closed the probate courts. And in the state of Georgia, you have to go to a probate court to apply for your permit, pay the money. We don't have a training requirement here in the state of Georgia. It takes a couple minutes to do. You usually have your permit in about 10 to 14 days in most counties, but they've been shut down now, Stephen. So Georgians whose permits expire or who want new ones are pretty much blank out of luck, my friend. Let's talk a little bit about that because I know you're covering issues like this.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't heard about that specific issue until you told me, just because, I mean, there's so much going on all over the country related to firearms right now because of, you know, all these emergency measures that have been put in place to slow the spread of the virus. And I do think that there are a number of states dealing with very similar issues because a lot of states have done what Georgia has done, you know, in order to, you know, implement social distancing and so forth. They're shutting down a lot of the court processes and legal processes in their states. And that obviously, just like you just described, has a severe effect on the permitting process in a lot of states, too, because states with shall issue, you know, even shall issue, which is the better version, less restrictive than may issue. But even in those states, you know, there is a process that you have to go through. And if there's fewer people on the government side to, or no one in the Georgia's case, to do that process, well, then effectively you've shut down the ability of citizens to exercise their rights.
You know, Stephen, there's nefarious intent in states like New Jersey. We know that Governor Murphy is a rabid hater of our gun rights. We know that he will work against us any way he can. He's got to be sued into compliance. There's news out now that New Jersey is, in fact, being forced. But that's the difference. They're being forced, Stephen, by lawsuits, et cetera, and being forced by action from advocacy groups. New Jersey Second Amendment Society, is Alexander Rubin is doing amazing work up there. But they're forcing, they're having to force them. That's not the issue here in Georgia. Governor Kemp is widely regarded as one of the most pro-gun, pro-rights governors in the country. And the courts have been fairly friendly to us and upheld a number of our lawsuits in the state of Georgia as we've regained the right to keep and bear arms across the state over the years. So I don't, there's no individual here that's responsible for saying, I'm going to take away Georgians' gun rights, as may be the case in Florida, where you have Nikki Freed, the only Democrat elected to office in Florida at the state level, who controls the Agriculture Department, which bizarrely controls the state licensing, and that includes concealed permits as well. So we don't have that intent going on here. Here's what, Stephen, 1611.126 in the Georgia Code says. No person shall carry a weapon without a valid weapons carry license unless he or she meets one of the exceptions to having such license as provided in subsections A through G of this code. In other words, that statement is pretty clear. Without that weapons license, you can't carry a gun, either openly or concealed. So because of that, your constitutional right to bear arms has been completely eliminated in this state. So what do we do about it going forward, Stephen?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard issue, right? Because there's certainly legitimate reasons why these shutdowns are happening. We all want to avoid spreading the virus as much as we possibly can. But at the same time, you have very legitimate constitutional concerns like what we're talking about here. And, there needs to be some balance struck there. In the case of these permits, the permitting process in Georgia, I mean, it seems like perhaps the easiest solution is for the governor or the legislature to suspend, that provision temporarily or extend people's, at the very least, extend people's permits who already have them. So if your permit is going to expire while the courts are shut down, I mean, I don't think is it really fair to arrest someone in that situation who can't, there's no process for them to go and renew their permit, and I think we've actually seen that happen in the Northwest. Mm-hmm. I think it was either Washington or Oregon, where they had extended the renewal dates for gun permits there, for concealed carry permits. And, I think creative solutions like that are probably going to be the best option right now in the middle of all this, in the middle of all this craziness. But obviously it brings up a longer term question of, people should consider what would happen in an emergency like this when they're passing these sorts of laws or advocating for them. Perhaps put in some sort of provision that says, in a case of a statewide emergency is declared, these expiration dates would extend until the emergency is over, something along those lines. Or even, obviously, for concealed carry, there's constitutional carry, which has become more and more popular throughout the country over the last 5 years or so. And that's an obvious argument for that, where if you don't need a permit to legally carry your gun, then you don't need to worry about the permitting process breaking down in an emergency.
You've just made the case for constitutional carry and the fact that we don't need no stinking permit to carry a firearm in America. The Constitution is our carry permit. But, we're going to run into a break here, Stephen. But when we come back, I'd like to explore that a little bit more with you in some greater detail. Because the bottom line here, I believe, is that the permitting scheme, and that's what it is today, has outlived its usefulness. What I mean by that is we have to go back to 1987 when Florida instituted its concealed carry permit law that became the model that we see across the country today. You've got 50 states across the country now that have some form of permitting currently in place. Not all states make it easy to get a permit. The usual suspects, New Jersey, Illinois, Hawaii, for example. And in other states, you like the state of Georgia, you pay $77 for a new permit or a new license, and the probate court gives you your license 10 days later as long as you meet the requirements and are a law-abiding citizen. But we all know that criminals don't follow the law, Stephen. Isn't that a fact?
I mean, that's the definition of a criminal, right?
So that then gives us the ability, or should give us the ability then, to provide constitutional carry for law-abiding citizens. So I believe that the permitting scheme has lost, I don't want to say it's luster. Maybe it's not right for everybody, but I believe it should be the law of the land across the country. I would like your opinion on that when we come back in much, much greater detail. I'm talking to Stephen Gutowski from the Free Beacon.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show indeed, and to all of you television viewers, welcome back inside Armed American Radio's GunBroker.com studios here on the Car Arms Platinum microphone. We're going to go right back to the phones. We're talking with Mr. Stephen Gutowski of the Free Beacon. Stephen, welcome back inside the studios with me. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm holding up all right.
Holding up all right. It's been tough to do. Let's get a little personal with you. Everybody safe? Everybody doing okay in your neck of the woods? I guess we can tell listeners and viewers that you are in Northern Virginia, correct?
Yep. Yeah, thankfully, my family is safe and sound so far. I have had a few friends who've come down with the virus, but they've, after a couple weeks of really high fevers, which sounds, frankly, super terrible, they have all recovered, so that is good news so far.
Okay, good. That's good to know. I personally don't know anybody that's come down with the virus yet, and I hope and pray that that's the case, and we get through this as fast as possible so that life can go on in America. I've got a number of things I want to talk with you about, Stephen, but I want to go back to that permitting scheme for just a moment because I believe that's what it is. And I think we've gotten to a point, you and I were talking prior to the program today, that it's almost like the law of diminishing returns. The permitting system worked. Now it's outlived its usefulness. We've got 16 states that now afford us constitutional carry that says if you come to the state, Arizona comes to mind as one of the most gun-friendly states in the country. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you come to the state of Arizona, welcome, and you're also welcome to carry your gun openly or concealed. They have had zero problems with it whatsoever, none. And we've got 15, possibly 16 other states now that are doing the same thing. Talk to us about what you think about the permitting process now. Has it outlived its life? Is its life cycle done? Should it be?
Well, so the thing about concealed carry permitting in most states, and I have a permit myself in Virginia and in Pennsylvania, which have fairly similar processes. Pennsylvania doesn't require training like your case there in Georgia. Virginia does require training, although it's a fairly moderate amount of training. A basic pistol course would qualify you, or even a hunting safety course. So, you know, relatively speaking, it's not, you're not required to do 20 hours of training or 16 hours of training like DC requires, right, their own specialized course. You know, for most states outside of some of the really strict states, you know, like DC or New Jersey or New York, you know, places that won't really even give you a permit, even if you go through the steps that they require. Most states, it's really just an extra background check and a fee. I mean, certainly in Pennsylvania, that's all it is. I mean, if you go to the store to buy your gun, you're going through that background check, and then you go to get your permit from the police station. Now, they take your picture in Pennsylvania so they can put it on your permit, but beyond that, it's basically just a background check and a fee that you pay.
Stephen, can I call it a tax? Can we interrupt you for a second? Can I call that a tax?
Sure. I mean,
isn't that what it is in reality, that we're being taxed to exercise our right?
I mean, you could certainly, I think it's fair to look at it that way, right? And to me, you know, the only one thing to consider about it all is how much does this process really have an effect on outcomes in reality? Right. You know, is Pennsylvania or Georgia all that much safer from people legally carrying firearms than Arizona? I don't know that there's evidence that that's the case. And so when you look at the process, even in good times, you know, Virginia, it takes, you know, beyond the, I think it's a $50 fee here, you take a class, They just changed the rules, the Democrats, to eliminate online courses. So
right now.
You have to go in person, which is ideal for training, but for picking up essentially a piece of paper from the government that says you can carry a gun makes the process longer and slightly less convenient. And then in a situation like we have right now, luckily the new Virginia rule doesn't go into effect until July, so people in Virginia can still use the online courses at this point to fulfill their requirements. But, you know, even in good times, that still makes it so that somebody who urgently needs to carry a gun can't do it legally, you know, outside of some very specific circumstances, like in your car openly, you know, in Virginia. And so
right. It
has this, there's already, even in normal times, an effect on people who urgently need to carry and don't already have a permit. And what is the great benefit of the process? That's, I think, where the debate needs to happen on this. Like, what is served by making people just go through an extra background check and pay a fee or tax or whatever? Like, what good does that serve? Does it actually make the state safer to have this permitting process in place instead of constitutional carry?
I think that question has been answered over the years, because we can go back and look at the numbers. I don't remember who the reporter was or even who the newspaper was. I remember it was a Michigan reporter a number of years ago who was highly critical when Michigan had put in its concealed carry permitting process, Stephen, the scheme, pay, training, the whole nine yards, which no criminal does, by the way, listener or viewer. No criminal pays to train. No criminal pays a fee to carry a firearm to rob a liquor store. Only you do as a law-abiding citizen. Keep that in mind. It's ludicrous. But he was very critical of the process, Stephen. And 10 years later, I got to get hats off. I got to remember who this was. Wrote another column about it and said, look, I was wrong. Law-abiding people actually are law-abiding people. But do they need the permit, is my question, to act like law-abiding people? A law-abiding person is a law-abiding person with that permit in their pocket or not. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about constitutional carry. It's not like it just makes it legal for anyone to carry a gun. You can still only carry a gun if you aren't a prohibited person. You can only carry a gun if you're legally allowed to have the gun. You know, so it's like if cops pull someone over who's a convicted felon and they happen to have a gun, it's not like they won't still be arrested for that. It doesn't change that. You know what I mean? So it only applies to people with clean records. So, you know, like, how much of a positive impact does that permitting system have in your state? That's a question I think a lot of people are going to ask, because especially right now, in a lot of states, not just Georgia, a lot of states, it's very difficult to actually obtain a permit because of the backlogs in the court systems in most states. I mean, first of all, there's been a huge increase in demand.
Right.
So even if the courts where you are that run the process, or the sheriff or whoever it is in your area, even if they had full staff, which most of them don't right now because of the virus, even if they did, it would still cause huge backlogs because so many more people want to get permits at this point.
Let me stop you there, because we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about that backlog. Then I want to shift gears and go over to the NRA. And there's a question that I want to ask you relative to your home state of Virginia. You know my history in the state there. We'll go over that briefly when we come back, also with Stephen Gutowski from the Free Beacon. Lots of things to talk about. Not enough time. Viewers, listeners, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. We'll be back right after this with Stephen Gutowski. Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back inside Armed American Radio Daily Defense, the GunBroker.com studios, Daily Defense studios of Armed American Radio, the video network, all right now kicking off for you on television stations on out on the West Coast. Great to have you here and listeners around the country on our syndicated stations, our affiliates. We appreciate you being here very much. I'm going to jump right back into Stephen Gutowski. I'm talking with Stephen Gutowski from the Washington Free Beacon. Stephen, welcome back in first, my friend.
Hey.
My question for you, I'm going to start with this. It popped in my head. I've asked it on the show over the last few weeks, but did you ever think, Stephen, before we get back into our regular discussion, that you would see Virginia, which was probably the biggest Second Amendment story of my lifetime up until just seemingly days ago, take a back seat to this and now almost with the gun control initiatives being pushed by Northam in the state, now almost off the map, not even being discussed as a result of this? Does that surprise you?
I mean, that feels like a whole other lifetime ago at this point,
doesn't
right?
It? Yeah, it really truly does. Mm-hmm. To think that we're there is to think that that happened is just incredible. I would have never been able. Hollywood couldn't have scripted this. Well, I guess Hollywood has scripted it, but that's Hollywood. We wouldn't think that's real life and it's actually going to happen. We're living in upside down, bizarro world times for sure. All right, back to the backlogs that you were talking about. In the situation here in Georgia, I'm broadcasting from the ATL in Atlanta. What we're going to be looking at through this bizarre nuance in the law, obviously, if we can't get it fixed, and I can assure you if you're listening to the program or if you're viewing the program in the state of Georgia, I can promise you that there is work being done to correct this. I don't know how long it's going to take to get it done, but we are working behind the scenes feverishly. Some very strong, powerful people are doing just that. So I'm optimistic that the governor may be forced to act, hopefully before we have to take any further action, but we are preparing to do that. When a probate court, which is where you have to go to beg for your permit and pay that $77 fine if it's new or $33 if it's a renewal, Stephen, opens back up, which the Governor Kemp's order has now been pushed out to May 13th, you think that's going to be the probate court's first order of business is weapons licensing processing? Probably not. So we're looking at a backlog that goes well into the fall. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it takes a long time to get caught up with everything in those states as far as gun permits go. I mean, that was the reason why obviously you can question his motivations, but the Wake County, North Carolina sheriff, that was why he announced he wasn't going to take any new permit applications. Now, in North Carolina, they require you to get a permit just to buy a handgun, not to carry it. So that was an even more severe restriction than what you're talking about in Georgia. But, you know, his reasoning was, well, look, I've been overwhelmed and we're lessening the staff in the building, so I can't take more, I can't take new applications because I'll never get through all of them. Now, is that good? Is that good reasoning? I mean, certainly the gun rights groups that sued him into backing away from that stance didn't think so, but this was the reason. And, you know, there's legitimacy to the idea that a lot of jurisdictions are going to be backed up with new permit requests, because a lot more people now want to own and carry firearms because of what's happening. You know, obviously not the virus itself. You're not, no one thinks you're going to be able to protect yourself from catching the virus with a gun, but from the societal effects, right? I mean, that's obviously what people are concerned about. I mean, I think it was something like 20% of the NYPD tested positive for the virus, so you're going to have a lot of police officers out of the line of duty. They're restricting what they actually arrest for in places like Philadelphia and New York right now. And they're letting, you know, prisoners out of jail. And now all these things might have good motivations and there might be good reasons behind doing them to try and, you know, deal with the virus. But at the same time, you can obviously see why people are concerned about that. And if things get worse, which, you know, we all pray to God that they won't. But if they do, people want to be prepared for that.
All right. Let me hold on. Let's go there. I hadn't intended to go there. But I'm going to, because you mentioned it. You said if things get worse, and listeners, viewers, pay very careful attention to this. Here in the state of Georgia, Governor Kemp, like many states around the country, has issued a shelter-in-place order. Essential businesses remain open. I have business to do. I've got two businesses to run. I'm able to go and do those essential things for my business. I'm staying home as often as I possibly can and in the studio. But there are still some things you need to do, food pickups and so forth. The next step, first of all, Stephen, did you ever think we'd get here to this point? Really, truly, did you ever think that this would happen in your lifetime?
No, I mean, this is a once in 100 years kind of event that's happening in this country right now. It's horrible. I think Americans thus far have handled it as well as, you know, could be probably better than you might expect,
agreed,
right, given all
agreed
the stuff that's happened. But, you know, I don't think anyone ever saw this coming. I wasn't prepared. You know, I didn't have hand sanitizer and mask and all the stuff that everyone now wants, you know, I was lucky enough to be well stocked with firearms and ammunition, but, you know, I understand why lots of people weren't and never really, you know, most people living your life, you don't consider the possibility that you might have to defend your home. Even though that is a possibility in normal times anyway, it's something that becomes a lot more real to people in times of emergency like this. And I understand
it absolutely
that.
Does.
It's a motivating factor.
It absolutely does. Great points. I'll let those comments speak for themselves and stand alone. Now I'm going to ask you this question. The next order, we never thought we'd see an order to shelter in place in our homes in this country from a governor, from a government. The next order is now you can't go out. Now you can't go to a grocery store. If it progresses and gets worse, there's no gray area here. The next order is going to be you are sheltering in place. You can't leave to get groceries. End of discussion. It's for your health and safety and the safety and security of the nation. That could happen. And let me tell you something. If that happens, whew, that's what people are concerned with when it comes to civil unrest, et cetera. And you've made some great points about being prepared. Most gun owners are prepared in the sense and understand that bad things can happen. Evil exists out there. That's why we have a firearm to protect and defend from it. I look at the Looney Tunes left talking about these dopey comments. Do they, all these new people buying guns, do they know they can't shoot a virus? Apparently too stupid to understand that it's not about the virus, but it's about the virus in the form of a criminal that might want their stuff should something break down even further than it has today. Now, let's pivot quickly to the National Rifle Association with what time we have left in this segment. We'll carry it into the next. I have two other things I want to discuss with you. But, Stephen, as you know, you probably know, Politico is reporting the NRA's laid off more than 60 employees. And our friend Andrew Arulanandam, I'm sure you know Andrew as I do, said on March 22nd it was announced and widely reported that the NRA would be implementing a number of permanent and temporary staff reductions along with other cost-cutting measures, just like many other corporations and nonprofits, as a result of the extraordinary impacts for the COVID-19 crisis. Did you ever think you'd see the National Rifle Association in such a weakened state? And would you agree that this is the wrong time for that organization to be in the state it's in today?
Yeah, I mean, I think
tough
that,
one, I
you know.
Know,
we can take them at their word as to why these layoffs happen. I mean, obviously the organization has been in the red for several years now in terms of their operating budget, but I'm sure that no one there was expecting the downturn that comes along with a pandemic like this, because the first thing people cut is charity spending. I mean, I know that the Second Amendment Foundation is also concerned about their fundraising numbers.
That's correct.
And I'm sure that a lot of places are because, you know, when people lose their jobs, they can't afford to give to the NRA or the SAF or whoever else.
Absolutely correct. Stephen, I have to stop you there. I apologize to viewers. We are live on the radio right now across the country as well. And from time to time, Stephen doesn't have the benefit that I have of hearing that music and having a producer tell him what he needs when the segments are over. Let me put it that way. We'll be back with Stephen Gutowski wrapping up this hour of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios on this Car Arms Platinum microphone right after this. Don't go away.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Our Second Amendment rights are under attack like never before, and we need you to take action now. The 2020 Democrat candidates have declared war on your right to keep and bear arms. Joe Biden supports gun prohibition and confiscation of your guns. Anti-gun billionaire Michael Bloomberg has vowed to spend millions to support Biden, and his number one policy issue is to take away your Second Amendment rights. It is urgent that every American show your support for our right to keep and bear arms. Please call 800-497-4775 to sign our petition in support of President Trump and your Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms, and it starts with your phone call to 800-497-4775. President Trump has protected our Second Amendment rights, and we need to show we support his presidency. 800-497-4775. Paid for by American Political Action Committee PAC, which is responsible for the content of this message.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show. Indeed, welcome back to the program, viewers across television stations across the West Coast. Also, those of you on air on our affiliates across the country, we appreciate you being inside the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum microphone with us today. Let me, you just heard DefenderCoffee.com. Who would have ever thought you can drink coffee and support the Second Amendment? DefenderCoffee.com. When you drink Defender Coffee, every sip supports the Second Amendment because you get to make a donation with your portion of the profits when you buy a bag of coffee and have it shipped to your home, or multiple bags like come into my house. And I give my money to the Second Amendment Foundation. Defender Coffee donates that portion of the profits to that organization on my behalf. Let's also give a shout-out to the rest of our sponsors real quick. Lead Slingers Whiskey. This is the Lead Slingers Whiskey microphone on the Monster Show on Sundays. The Second Amendment Foundation. Crossbreed Holsters, of course. They are about 10 to 14 days out shipping, but they are manufacturing the best holsters in the world for you right now during this ridiculous, goofy, bizarre, dangerous, frightening time in America. Of course, MyPillow supports the Second Amendment. You can sleep at night knowing that you're supporting the Second Amendment because Mike Lindell supports this program. When he found out that I actually used his product, he wanted to advertise on the show, and we love him to death. He's such a great guy. Look forward to hearing from him soon. Of course, this is the Car Arms microphone, the GunBroker.com studios. If you can't find it on store shelves right now, GunBroker.com has it. You can visit GunBroker.com and sign up 100% free. They will never ask you for a dime. And just watch the auctions, over 1.5 million auctions every single day at GunBroker.com. Let's not forget North American Arms. As I mentioned, Defender Coffee. And, of course, now Emerson Knives. Emerson Knives out on the West Coast. Ernie Emerson and his daughter Megan and the rest of the family doing God's work out there. And, of course, Bursa. We heard from Rafael Del Valle from Bursa Firearms Eagle Imports yesterday on the program. They also support us. Let's go back over to Stephen Gutowski from the Free Beacon. Stephen, welcome back in. It's great to have you with me today. Let's wrap up that conversation about the National Rifle Association. I want to lead you down this road. You said it's, I guess we can take them at their word. It's been kind of hard to take the National Rifle Association at their word lately. Upper management has made some boneheaded moves in that organization, and I have been very vocal and have written about it. I will not back down on it on this microphone now, and I certainly won't do it on this television camera, about my calls for Wayne LaPierre to step down. I think that's in the best interest of the organization. He has yet refused to do so. And no question, the COVID-19 crisis is causing a problem, as you mentioned, for not only them, but other organizations as well. In addition to that, when you combine that with the boneheaded moves they've made, I think the National Rifle Association is in a really bad place, and it's too bad. The Second Amendment Foundation, by the way, right now the single most important group in America, with dozens of lawsuits pressuring these governors, the usual suspects, of course, and, you know, who knows what we'll see in the state of Georgia, but we're seeing how fragile our rights are right now. First, go ahead and close out, if you would, with comments about the NRA, maybe what I just said about Wayne and others stepping down and fixing that organization, and then we'll move on to another topic.
Well, look, I mean, the criticisms of the NRA's spending, especially in regards to Wayne LaPierre's personal expenses, are obviously legitimate concerns that people have. And I think, you know, with these firings, these layoffs, it's certainly more than legitimate to want as much transparency as possible as to why they felt the need to do this. We should see their annual report, although that will cover 2019. That should be coming out soon. Generally, it comes out during the annual meeting, which obviously this year was canceled because of the concerns over the virus. But there's certainly plenty of reason that people would want more transparency, especially in the middle of a significant layoff like this. Is about 10% of their staff. And, you know, we're going into an election year, which, you know, cutting staff in an election year is never a good sign for any political organization. So there's plenty of concerns that are legitimate that need to be addressed over at the NRA. I just think that, you know, we are seeing a drop in contributions to nonprofits across the board. So I think that the reasoning behind why they had to make these moves is probably sound. But I welcome more and will ask for more information on that front. And so, you know, it is interesting, though, because it's kind of ironic and crazy because right as all these gun rights groups are actually doing more than they've done in a long time, you know, mainly because there's a lot more to be done right now in the middle of this emergency, they're also having to deal with cutting back their budgets because they're getting less money coming in. So the NRA, the SAF, First Firearms Policy Coalition, all these guys are filing cases all over the country, oftentimes together, mm-hmm. which is fairly rare. You know, they're all working together on this stuff, but at the same time, they're hurting financially. And that can be dangerous for gun rights if these groups aren't able to keep up these lawsuits. I mean, you can see what happens.
We don't have Bloomberg's deep pockets. Of course, Michael Bloomberg being the sole funder and the big fat wallet for all of the anti-gun organizations out there. By the way, proudly extolling the fact that the National Rifle Association is having difficulty and throwing the amount of money that they're getting ready to spend in the presidential election, which is going to be over $60 million pledged by Everytown for Gun Safety, which in fact is Bloomberg. And Everytown for Gun Safety, hey, I'm still looking for your gun safety classes. If you can show me where it is, let me know. But yeah, it's a mess. It absolutely is a mess. If you can help Second Amendment Foundation, saf.org, I would just beg you to join us over there. A life membership is $150. I'm a life member, and I donate about $50 a week. You can put it. You can agree to just have it come out. Whatever it is, $5, $10, you can set it up to come out monthly. We would really, really, we need your help. Over 30 cases in courtrooms across the country right now, and filing actions in states across the country in support of what we are finding out to be, sadly, fragile Second Amendment rights, not just Second Amendment, but rights across the board. Stephen, let me ask you this. If Governor Murphy deems it okay to suspend Second Amendment rights, that would mean that Governor Murphy in New Jersey, listener and viewer I'm talking about, that would mean that he would apparently be okay knocking down your door to say you're not secure in your possessions and violate your Fourth Amendment rights. I mean, are they not equal rights here? Could he force government troops under the third, his government troops, to move into your house and quarter, for example? He's got no problem suspending Second Amendment. That means he can also take away your First Amendment. Isn't that what tyranny is? Isn't that the definition of it?
Certainly. I mean, you know, what's interesting in this case, in this particular emergency, is that there obviously are legitimate governmental interests in preventing, you know, gatherings, including at stores or even church services, which we've seen suspended as well in a lot of states. And, you know, so you do have like a legitimate reason why you might want to do these things. But at the same time, you know, emergencies are when you have these sorts of tyrannical powers develop. And so we really need more, I think, from the court systems to try and figure out how we can balance these legitimate concerns against one another, right? And probably we're going to need the Supreme Court to step in at some point, hopefully soon. I mean, they should really move quickly on these sorts of questions. They're very important questions. And so hopefully we'll have the Supreme Court come in and say, well, look, you know, maybe you can restrict how many people can be in a gun store at once because of these legitimate concerns, but you can't just shut down people's access to firearms altogether, which kind of seems to be the direction we're headed in for the most part. You know, that's basically what Pennsylvania did and New Jersey did after their initial shutdowns in Delaware and Los Angeles County. But we don't have like a formal you know, solution to that yet. And certainly the gun control groups had lagged behind the gun rights groups on this issue, but now they're getting involved.
Well, that's where we've been winning.
They want the door shut down.
Stephen Gutowski, I've got to stop you there. We're getting ready to end this hour of Armed American Radio. Freebeacon.com to read everything Stephen Gutowski does. You, listeners and viewers, enjoy the rest of your day. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the GunBroker.com studios. We'll be back tomorrow. See you on the radio.